Support for Commodity Week Online comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the January 25 edition of Commodity Week. Corn market be able to hang on through the month of February, and what happens if the crop insurance price is near $6? We'll ask these and many more questions today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with the Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services out of Chicago, Illinois, Steve Freed. Our panelists in studio today include Dale Durkles of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, and from right here in Champaign, Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, have you signed up for All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting yet? On Monday, you can call in to 217-333-7300 and reserve your $25 ticket for the March 5th event. That's a Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you have not been to our all-day agricultural outlook, this is the year. Our panelists include almost all the voices you hear regularly on our programming, and we'll have special guest John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures, Murray Wise of Murray Wise & Associates, and Peter Goldsmith from the University of Illinois. It's all at the All-Day Ag Outlook. Get your tickets today, Monday at 217-333-7300.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's start our program with this question. Dale Durkles, farmers are fearful recent experience of selling a crop too early will again cause them to miss new crop marketing opportunities. What strategy, if any, might you deploy to take advantage, and I'll call it, of the current price strength?
You know, right now, I'm really not anxious about selling new crop at all. I'd rather be a little bit patient, let the calendar stretch out into February, maybe even early March. And a lot of this has to do with taking a look at the price cycles for both corn and beans. It looks like those crop report lows really were the 20-week low in corn and the 16 to 18-week low in beans. So I think patience. Getting out into March when we can look ahead by, or February when we can start to look ahead to what spring weather might be, maybe then you can kind of gel some strategies that are really appropriate.
Jackie Bakes?
Well, I still think that I'm a firm believer that you have to protect yourself to the downside and give yourself upside opportunity. And I think that using put strategies is a good way to go. With the market right now at 585, you could do $6 puts and sell some options against it. Get into a decent position, gives you good downside protection. And it also gives you some protection against the February crop insurance price.
And Wayne Nelson.
Well, Todd, I agree with both of them here. You know, I think that, number one, we need to show some patience. But I think that also along the way, we've got a lot of things happening in the world, and we're talking an awful lot about some tremendously large corn acreage being put out. So I think that we need to be buying a few puts. If you have nothing done, I'd like to see everybody 20% done in the next 2 weeks, whether it's futures and an option, or whether it is strict cash sale or whatever you see that is good in your area, depending on what the basis is. One of the things that I looked at, I'd like to have at least my first sale is $13 in beans. So I'm going to – beans around $13 November. sell futures, and then I'm going to sell a 12/20 put and collect about 50 cents, and that would give me my basis back to have $13 cash beans.
Mm-hmm. In the marketplace this week, March corn had a high. Remember, we gave you the overnight and day trade, which are all one particularly, but they're divided into electronic and open outcry still. 7.34 and three quarters was the high for the March corn. The low on the week was $7.14.5. The weekly trade from Friday to Friday was down 6¾ cents at $7.20¾. December corn at $5.84¼, 6¼ cents lower this Friday than it was last Friday. Jackie Vakes, is there any reason to fear the closing of the Mississippi River at this time? Are we just too deep into a very poor export year and middle of the winter time?
Well, I think it would probably have less impact because of the fact that we're in the middle of winter time. I think the fear should come from the fact that we are as low as we are. And if we do not get recharging rain as we go into the spring, we could be in an extremely tough situation when we get into the fall harvest time next year. So, you know, it's something I think you have to keep in the back of your mind, no matter what you're looking at. And ultimately, the impact it's going to have is transportation costs, especially to the Gulf. If you have to replace barge with rail, it's going to cost more. And when you look at the farm situation, if we do have a really large crop, that's only going to add to how poor the basis is going to be.
The United States producer, the United States in general, has long considered itself the place to come for corn, not last year. The planet has found other places to find feed grains other than corn. How much of a problem does that create in the coming year for U.S. producers?
You mean the next marketing year?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that are really on the table there that you really don't know about. Depends upon the crop size we have, depends upon how low prices go, because the one thing I have in the back of my mind, I keep rattling around this year, 1977. Back then there was a big policy shift in terms of farm policy that really had a big impact there. We did $1.75 on the low side of corn in 1977 in August, but we didn't stay there long because the best game in town at that point was to put the corn in the farmer-owned reserve because Uncle Sam was paying you to store it. You give me a big crop and let's say a low price, $4.55, pick a number. I think there are a lot of countries around the world that have seen problems and had problems over the last 3 to 4 years because of food prices, food availability, that you give me a reasonable market, I think a lot of people are going to step out there, notably China, and start buying grain just to fill a reserve.
They'll fill a reserve, but that would be good for the United States over that time frame.
It would eventually. You know, it doesn't say that we can't have low prices into the fall, but my point is, you know, if we do have a big crop and low prices into the fall, I don't think we stay down there very long, and I think we come up out of the hole relatively quickly.
Well, and I think, you know, if I understood your question right, Todd, where you were going is, you know, none of us expected to see Brazil become the second largest exporter of corn.
Right.
Like they did this year, you know, and basically that the impact that they had in our marketplace was they held the price down more on old crop corn than what we would have expected because we didn't run as tight for corn because we were able to get corn in from them. And so what kind of an impact? I think that, you know, that's anybody's guess. Will the American dollar go higher? Will it go lower? You know, if it goes higher, then I think that we start to even see more competition from them. But, you know, for this coming year, they still have to get good crops, you know, in Argentina and Brazil both, and we don't know what's going to happen. I guess the reality is it's finally coming to roost. This is a world market.
Yes.
950 million bushel of corn exports will be the first time we've exported less than a billion bushel since 1971-72.
What does that tell you?
It tells us they go into that other grocery store, and they like that other grocery store.
Today.
In basic terms, once you switch grocery stores, you like it, you find out where things are, and things are cheaper there, you continue to shop there until they run a special back at the old grocery store. You were talking, what's it going to take? We've got to turn around and be the cheap boy on the block, not just the reliable boy on the block, for the next time around when we go to try to buy this corn business back. You know, we've topped out the ethanol market or the biofuels. We're a mature market. That's where our big growth was coming. We pulled back in the other world export market, and we're going to see the ethanol market probably shrink back. We're seeing 99.3 million acres of corn by Informa. Still going to probably, it might only be 98. You know, even at 147 bushel, like Elwin Taylor says, that's well over a 12 billion bushel crop.
Well, I think you hit it on the head, though, Wayne, when you said the reliable boys, and that's what we are. You know, if you looked at Brazil and even Argentina, Argentina's been unreliable. They have dock strikes regularly and everything else. Brazil actually lost some of Japan's business this year because they had great delays. They do not have the infrastructure that we have, at least not at this point in time. And so, you know, I think that I'm in Dale's camp. If you see the price back off, you know, because we have a larger crop, I think you're going to see a lot of people from outside the United States step right up and say, come on, bring it on.
And they're going to put it in storage.
That's right. They're going to put it in reserves.
So then we really have to think about, and I don't like to look this far out, but not only the 2013 crop, but the 2014 crop, right?
Yep.
And you agree?
In what sense you're going to look at them?
Well, if you're talking about a world that's going to store grains and have them on hand, they're not going to be desperate for grain in the following year.
You know, that fits out with a long-term price cycle in corn. It has a five and a half year low coming up in 2015. Interesting. And there's a three-year cycle in overall commodity indices that's due to bottom in 2015 as well.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that we have to take into account now, you know, we're risk managers, okay?
Right.
So our assumption has to be that we are going to have a relatively normal crop, even if we have a large increase in mm-hmm. acres, that we're going to get just-in-time rain. The reality is we have land in the United States that is so extremely dry, and no matter where you what forecast you talk to, it's unlikely that even with normal rains this year we could recharge. So I think the 2014 situation needs to be looked at, but it has to be looked at in the context of it's too soon to make big decisions about that. We have to have more weather information before we get that far.
Okay, we have to take a break here simply because we're talking about things that are really far out and it sounds really bearish to me. But I want to double check and see where you all stand. Wayne, how neutral, bearish, friendly are you to the corn market?
I'm slightly negative, and I say that not necessarily that I think old crop corn is very, very tight. I think the old crop corn and the spreads are going to continue to work. But I think that we will be lower than we are right now come this fall in the corn market.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm relatively friendly to the corn market primarily because I still think that, and when you looked at cattle on feed that came out today, we had the same amount of cattle on feed as what we had last month. I think we're still going to see some increase in the feed, and I do think when we look at going at 950 million bushels of export sales, it's probably too low. But, you know, if we'd have taken the carryout below 600 million, this would have been one of the most explosive markets you'd want to see.
Short term, I'm a little bit friendly to corn only because, you know, we've got this weather uncertainty hanging out, and I think it provides some kind of a natural floor here for a while. But longer term, I am still somewhat pessimistic, but that really is a situation that you review every week, every month as you go through and you learn a little bit more about what the weather in spring and or summer can be.
Some of the other numbers from Chicago, March wheat settlement price this week at $7.76.5, off 14 and three quarters. The July or the harvest month down 16 at $8.13.25. The soy complex finished the beans with a 14.60 and three quarter higher in the March and the low at 14.15. That settlement price at $14.41 for March, up 4 3/4 from the previous week. November soybeans at $13.03, up 10 3/4 of a cent on the week. We'll put the cattle numbers in as well. February cattle up $1.35 at $126.30. The January feeders at $144.70 were 80 cents higher on the week, and the lean hogs at 86.82.5 were up $1.47.5. The numbers from the on feed report were positive if you were looking at the cattle market. But not particularly positive, I suppose, if you're looking at the corn market.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, we had that discussion in our office when they came out because the expectation for on-feed was 95.6. We came in at 94. So, you know, the implications to the corn market, we're going to probably feed a little less corn. But I thought it was interesting. We placed 99 versus placing 104. And we marketed 98 versus an expectation of 93.2. So, you know, the cattle market's definitely moving things. I still think that when you look at the cattle on feed report, you've got to really dig into it, into the weights. And when you looked at the weights, we didn't place nearly as many heavyweight cattle. In fact, we placed 14,000 less. the area that we placed 30,000 more comes into the October-December months. And so I think we'll continue to see some bull spreading, buying the nearby, selling the deferreds, you know. But from the corn market standpoint, it's the same as last month, so that's not so bad.
Wayne, I left all of 1 minute to talk about soybeans. Are the exports going to continue to move quickly?
You know, the crush is coming in a little bit, but it's still very, very strong. And I think as long as China can put in and lock that in, they're going to keep coming. And they are talking to the U.S. because they don't want to wait 45 days to get their beans. So I think the soybean market's going to hang in there for the next 3 weeks.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk then with Steve Freed. He's the Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services right here on Commodity Week. Hey, remember, we have our All-Day Ag Outlook coming up on the 5th day of March. That's a Tuesday. And if you'd like tickets, you can buy them now, on Monday during business hours at 217-333-7300. They're $25 a piece. About half of those are gone already in the first 4 business days. They've been on sale. Only 365 tickets available. Call now, 217-333-7300.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. Only widely scattered thunderstorms occurred across Argentina, southern Brazil, and Paraguay during the past week. Thus, soils continue to dry out across this region. To this point, dryness is not a problem, but rainfall will be needed soon in these areas. In addition, temperatures soared into the mid-90s to mid-100s across Paraguay and northern and central Argentina this week, which is not helpful for crops. Widespread rainfall is not likely across Argentina and Paraguay during the coming week, so dryness is quickly becoming of concern. In addition, high heat is expected Sunday through Friday. There are indications that this below-average rainfall pattern may persist through at least mid-February. There is one exception of note. The American GFS computer model does show better chances for widespread rainfall during the first few days of February. However, confidence is low on that prediction, as that model has not performed well of late. In southern Brazil, including Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná, mostly dry weather is also expected to continue in the coming week. The only difference from Argentina will be less extreme temperatures. Looking farther ahead, mostly dry weather may remain an issue in far southern Brazil into mid-February, but there are signs that rainfall may start to improve to the north across Paraná. Farther north, across center-west and southeast Brazil, many areas have had below-average rainfall during the past month, but thunderstorm coverage did begin to pick up this week, especially in Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul. Widespread rainfall is expected to increase across center-west and southeast Brazil during the next 2 weeks. The rain will benefit crops in the vegetative and reproductive stages, but will slow early harvesting. That is your South American weather update for Commodity Week. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
You're listening to Commodity Week. This is the January 25 edition. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois. Dale Durkles of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. And in studio as well, our guest today, Steve Freed, the Vice President of Research at ADM Investor Services in Chicago, Illinois. Steve, thank you so much for being with us. You got to listen to the front end of this program, and it was a bit scary. What kinds of things would you say about the corn market as you move forward through the 2013 growing season and look into 2014?
Well, first of all, I think that all the comments I've heard so far, all of them could be right. And I think that there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets. There's going to be a lot of volatility. And it's up to the weather person probably more than any year. We have to grow a good crop. I think the corn market right now is suffering from a bit of a lack of direction. It's in a trading range. We don't have the exports that that would make prices go higher. The contracts in Chicago are export sensitive, and without that type of market, you just don't have the push. The funds don't like the corn market, and I think that on the other hand, the December 1 stocks were bullish. So I think we stay in this trading range until we see what the weather is.
Understanding that weather really is an important
part of the marketplace we're going to deal with here over the next number of months. What's your general view of how this is going to play into the mix and how the price picture might unfold as we go through the rest of the winter and on into spring itself?
Well, first, South American weather. We have to decide if they're going to grow the crops that we're trading. And then as far as U.S. is concerned, I would think that we would probably drift lower into the spring. The February USDA Outlook Conference, they're going to come out with some big yields and some big acres, and they're going to tell the funds that all is well, like last year. And, you know, last year we traded low until the end of May and early June, and then we realized that we had the blocking high, and then we went. So probably a similar pattern. If you had 50 weathermen in a room, you get 50 different forecasts for 2013. It sounds like we're going to have some pockets of dryness, and, you know, that's not necessarily bearish. We just, from a market standpoint or from a commercial standpoint, you just hope those pockets aren't big.
You know, Steve, of course, we have that five-letter word China that's always in our vocabulary all the time. Do you anticipate, and when would you anticipate China coming back in? We keep hearing things like, you know, they're going to be a net importer. Do you believe that?
I do. I think that they're, though, very price sensitive. I mean, when you look at the numbers, they grew a record corn crop over 200 million tons. They used that. They fed a record amount of wheat, and they drew their corn stocks down lower than what the USDA is saying. And so, you know, I get the strong feeling that if you take corn futures below $5, they'll start buying corn for the reserves. And I think that gives you a natural floor in the market for a while.
Steve, I know in the last conference, when we were in Chicago last week, we talked about the wide ranges of where you think corn can go on the top side, where you can go on the bottom side, and also on beans. When do we need to get worried? Do we have the three-week time period here to sort of coast and see what's going to happen, or is it pretty immediate if we get some rain in South America?
For beans, I think it's pretty immediate. I mean, this weekend is very important, just like last weekend was. If we walk in here Monday morning and there's rain in the forecast, that's probably it for beans for a while. The large funds, they want to sell $13 new crop beans. As far as corn is concerned, we backed off from the $6 in the new crop area, and I think that if there is some resting orders for farmers to sell new crop corn, it's $6 to them. And so that probably puts a top on D's corn around 620 or 630 until we know what the weather is.
Steve, one quick question again. Back it used to be that Skilling was the weatherman that everybody watched and traded mainly off of. He was the weatherman of favor. Is there one now, or if there is, or one or two or three, who are the top ones we're watching?
You know, I think a lot of people use World Weather out of Kansas City. He puts out a lot of different forecasts during the day. But, you know, I think people have gotten sophisticated to the point where they actually look at the change in the weather maps every 6 hours and can kind of read them themselves. The fund managers, they have their own weather people, and so when the maps change, they'll trade it. So I think when you every 6 hours, when you see these maps change, you see the market change. And it's not necessarily just because a forecast changed, it's because the maps changed.
You know, Steve, we talked a little bit about the Mississippi River. I'd like to know how much of a concern it is at your level, at the commercial side. I mean, you guys have delivery points all along the Illinois River, which leads right down. So tell me, what are you thinking? What kind of plans are you making if we don't get the rain?
Well, again, these are my thoughts, not those of ADM. Yeah. But I think that the market is making some adjustments. You could pull a lot of grain out of the Ohio River, especially from the wheat standpoint. In theory, 30 days from now, we're going to go from the number one supplier of beans in the world to shipping nothing. If there is boats switched, they're switched to the PNW because they're quicker, and so you've got a record basis out there, and there is no corn export demand. So we've had some unexpected rains in the St. Louis area, and it has actually raised the water level. 80% of the water that goes into the Mississippi comes out of Missouri, and that's still shut off. So I think that on one hand, if it stays dry this spring, it'll be an issue. But on the other hand, we really don't have the pull at the Gulf to make it a big impact. And that's why freight right now is so cheap.
You know, when you look at the acreage mix going forward this year, you know we have a huge base of acres that can be planted, coupled up with another 2.6 million that came out of CRP. What do you think? You know, we've had Inform at 99 and we've got people at 77, 78 on beans. Where are your ideas gelling around to what kind of mix we can have on corn beans this year?
Two things. I think these prices will generate as much acres as the farmers can plant. You know, crop insurance was a good backstop, and I think farmers have to get crop insurance again. I think up in the Northwest Corn Belt where yields were great, you're going to see more corn. Down in the South, you'll see more corn instead of cotton and peanuts. And rice is now equal to corn, so you might not get as much acres there. If I'm paying $670 an acre for rent here in central Illinois, I'm going to plant corn. If you push the numbers from the University of Illinois, it says plant corn. You make more profits than beans. But we also have some guys that own their own land that didn't have very good corn yields last year. They're going to try to go back to beans. We have more soft wheat acres, so there'll be more double crop bean acres. And the guys in the north would rather plant beans than wheat. So I think both acres are going to go up, weather permitting. If it's April 1st and there's no rain, you know, you can't plant as much corn as you'd like to. But if we get some showers in April, I think you'll see a record corn acres.
Steve, what is it that the index funds are doing in the marketplace today for grains and oilseeds?
Well, I think the players right now, all of a sudden, they see some alternatives. I mean, the stock market keeps going up. Today, the bond market was down hard, suggesting that interest rates might start be going up. And so you're seeing some money flowing out. The California Teachers Fund got into our markets on the long side in 2005, and they just cut their endowment or involvement in half. And they were, if you look at the numbers, they may have lost 8% per year since 2005, whether it's the role, whether it's the cost of capital to be involved, or whether it's just the change in prices. So I think the index funds are slowly getting out of our markets. And we'll see, but I think the vacuum or the void will be filled by the commercial. And so in the long run, we might do a little bit better job with a little bit less volatility in price discovery.
Steve, thank you so much for taking the time with us. Steve Fried is the Vice President of Research at ADM Investor Services. Now time for a final word from our panelists in studio. We'll start with you, Dale Dirkles.
You know, the one thing we are going to have going forward here the next few weeks is still some volatility in this marketplace and a lot of indecision because of what the weather is going to do.
Jackie Bakes.
As always, I think you have to be proactive and protect yourself to the downside and leave yourself some upside opportunity.
And Wayne Nelson.
The CME Group's putting out a survey there, and they'd like feedback here. Let's all let them know that we don't care for all these doggone hours that nobody trades and the volume's thin and it hurts us, and only high velocity traders are making any money at those times, so they can move the market and increase the volatility. So take that survey, tell them what we think, and let's get the hours back to where they need to be.
And that wraps up this January 25 edition. I am Todd Gleason. You've been listening, of course, to Commodity Week. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. And there you'll also find all the information about our all-day agricultural outlook. It's scheduled for the 5th day of March. It's a Tuesday. And the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Sign up today at 217-333-7300.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.